And good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point, with Zach Yenser on AM 1030, KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. Up ahead on our show today, we'll catch up with Devin Underwood for the first time in 2022, the principal over at the Talent Store. We've been doing a segment called Workforce Pivots since a little bit before COVID got to us, in fact, talking about Tucson's labor market, job market, talent retention, trying to make sense, especially for our business owners listening. And our business is impacted. How do you find the right people for the right positions at the right time? That is what she makes a living doing. She's pretty darn good at it. And we've appreciated her current events approach to that issue here on the show. And so we'll welcome Devin back on here in 22. That's at the bottom of the hour. Obviously, lots to talk about with the Great Resignation and so much more. But this first half, I want to jump in just a second and talk about the tipping point that I think we have hit on COVID public policy. And I'll break that down for you, what I'm seeing and why I think it's important to bring it up. Might also mention a transportation item here in the Tucson region as well before we get to Devin. So that's our show today. Mr. Matt Neely, good morning to you. Good to be with you as always.
Morning, Zach. How are you today?
Doing good. I always am wondering, you know, how many buttons you're pressing at one time and if you're ready for me to say hello. But you are there. You are here. We're doing this together, Matt. I appreciate you.
working at it, Zach.
Oh, it is Friday Eve, so that is good.
Friday,
is good
there you go. And a holiday weekend to boot.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a good day. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, Matt. I want to quickly plug this here at the top of the hour. Dr. Bobby Robbins, president of the University of Arizona, is with me tomorrow. We are going to focus as much as we can on Tucson's place in space. We're going to talk about the U of A's place in aerospace and astronomy and space research and investment. And it's just something that the U of A is really good at. Our region has expertise in that. And I just want to keep talking about it because I think it's important. So always look forward to having Dr. Robbins on. That'll be a good show tomorrow.
Quite a heritage, and still, it's not all in the past. Lots of stuff going on now, and 100%. A lot of stuff coming up.
100%. So, Matt, I wanted to talk about a trend that I am seeing. You know, I think the nature of the show, I call this show Tipping Point, because a tipping point reflects a series of decisions, a series of things happening, a moment in time where the impact of a number of small things leads us to a potentially big turn in another direction. And I call my show Tipping Point because I think broadly, in many ways, we are at that point as a region that we have a number of small decisions that need to be made, a number of issues, a number of opportunities that if we meet those challenges, if we take those opportunities, this region has an opportunity to be a world-class region. And I want to spread that message on the show. So that's Tipping Point. I want to describe a tipping point that I am seeing on COVID. And you can take or leave what I'm about to share with you. You can agree or disagree with it. That's the beauty of live local radio. I just want to tell you the gut hunch story and trend that I am observing over the past couple of weeks and what I think it means for us. And you can take it or leave it. And here's the tipping point on COVID. We are at a tipping point where I think we are rapidly moving to a forced endemicity of COVID. In other words, I think that we have been the last 20 months in a pandemic response mode. Endemic means that we are never going to get rid of COVID. We are instead going to learn how to live with it. Not to the same extreme variants, but like the flu, like the cold, like other SARS, I'm not comparing them, but I'm saying that there's a kind of a family of viruses happening. We've known that. You won't get rid of them, but just like the cold was probably a devastating disease when it first entered humanity, and now it's an annoying thing that pops up a couple times a year for the average person, COVID is going to get there. We are not going to eliminate COVID. Endemicity means that we have figured out how to live with it. And I think we are at a tipping point on COVID to forced endemicity in our public policy, where we are going to be forced to manage COVID, whether we like it or not, in an endemic way. And with Omicron, we might even be heading towards natural endemicity. I think Omicron is going to infect enough people to really reshape how 2022 looks around COVID. This thing is just spreading so quickly. I'm an observer of trends. You can do with them what you will. In late December, when the CDC policy shifted around isolation from 10 days to 5 days, Rochelle Walensky, the director of the CDC, said this. This was the last week of December in an interview with NPR. Quote, "We can't take science in a vacuum. We have to put science in the context of how it can be implemented in a functional society." Unquote. What's interesting to me about that, and you can call it correlation or causation, I am going to say it was causation. What's interesting to me is that just days prior, Delta Airlines CEO sent Walensky a letter asking for a 5-day COVID isolation period rather than a 10-day, saying that especially for those who are vaccinated, the spread after 5 days is fairly minimal. And that there is a staffing issue, that life and business has to keep going. And 10 days rather than 5 days makes a huge difference. So a few days before the CDC changed its science, changed its guidelines, the private sector was at work saying, here are the pressures on us. And this on the heels of concern too across the board about education staffing and healthcare workers being able to manage current situations. I've said this for a couple weeks now, that I have a gut sense that there is a shift from just focusing on infection and vaccination rates to a broader understanding of how to manage COVID endemically and not in terms of a pandemic. Take, for example, that for months we pushed doctors and nurses to get vaccinated, let go nurses who did not oblige from most of our healthcare institutions, but now we have and are allowing healthcare workers out of necessity to come back after 5 days if asymptomatic. But even more shockingly, we're hearing that potentially infectious healthcare workers are being allowed back into our hospital systems. As a country, I think we blew it when we didn't follow the lead of other countries in the world that relied more on testing sooner than we did. European countries, Great Britain has been doing a testing push more than anything else. We spent so much time in this country promoting the vaccine that we forgot that a mutating virus would be even better managed by the ease and frequency of testing that could make sure sooner and more reliably that a host of a virus isn't infecting as many people. And this is where I want to put my disclaimer in, right? I got hundreds of hours of radio in the public on file. And so I want this to be on record. I made the personal decision the vaccine was right for me. I'm fully vaccinated. I wear a mask indoors during certain surges of cases. And I test weekly, understanding that I want to make sure that I'm not hosting something I don't want to pass on to somebody else. And I've got a 2-month-old, a 2.5-year-old, and a 4.5-year-old. So that is my personal tiers of Zach Yenser health policy, right? I would never say, you know, Matt, you should test once a week. That's your choice. My choice is that makes sense for me. So leave me alone. So I want to put that disclaimer in there. There's no denialism here. There is no diminishing of what we're dealing with. I'm merely looking at the trends, and I'm trying to add two and two together and say, I think this is where we're going. locally at Tucson Unified School District this week. The TUSD board voted Tuesday night to shorten its COVID-19 protocol policy to match the CDC's new guidance as a way to combat staffing shortages being felt across the district. In order to get staff back in school sooner, all staff testing positive for COVID can now return to work in 5 days instead of 10. President Bobby Robbins at the University of Arizona, when pushed on why the University of Arizona is continuing with in-person classes, he said, quote, "We don't want to destabilize people because they've been yo-yoed back and forth. You know, after a while, this gets to be incredibly challenging. People want a routine." There are stories now happening around the country of dissatisfaction by Democrats. I'm not even going to mention Republicans. Democrats of all stripes. Liberal, progressive, moderate, conservative Democrats. The stories around the country the last 2 weeks. Dissatisfaction by Democrats with teachers' unions is another example. Parents of all political stripes are asking for a smarter, science-driven return to normalcy after 2 years of a lack thereof. When I see Republicans frustrated with teachers' unions, that is status quo. But what we are now seeing are liberal Democrats around the country, West Coast, East Coast, North Coast, and South Coast, dissatisfied when politics create a lack of classroom availability so that kids can get back to school and Americans can get back to work. Now, I'm not here to tell you who's right and who's wrong. I make it my job to say, look, y'all, this is what I am seeing. You make of it what you want. But I am seeing a definitive shift from a pandemic approach, a public policy that was based only on infection rates and vaccination rates, to a policy that is figuring out more across the board. How do we keep our social institutions from breaking down? How do we keep our workers at work? How do we keep our students in the classroom? How do we keep our healthcare systems managing? And those are hard questions, but those are different questions than we have been asking over the last 20 months, I believe, of this pandemic. If you've been listening to the show, and I'll head out on this, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I've had this gut sense that our smartest public policy is not being had, that we are not keeping up with where we need to be going on this pandemic. I was talking to an elected official the other day saying, you know, look, I think when people are looking at schools, at education, at airlines, at work, they are seeing a government, a public sector that is not keeping up, that is not dealing with the world as it is, but a world that they would like it to be. And whether it was a lack of emphasis and preparation on testing or whatever the case may be, we have seen a public policy driven by a pandemic phase, and now we are being forced and pushed into an endemic phase, whether we like it or not. The world that we would like to see maybe is now meeting the world as it is and how it needs to be. So I wanted to share that because I've been trying to put words around it. Again, let's leave on this. I'm an observer of trends. I want to share with you what I'm seeing. Do with them what you will. But I think we are in an interesting shift here at the top of 2022 from pandemic response to an endemic response. And by the way, the tipping point is that many Republicans have been here for a long time. The tipping point is when our friends to the left, when Democrats join Republicans and say, there has to be a new phase of this. That's the tipping point. And I think we're there. And I'm just observing it and telling you what I see. When we come back, a short transportation item I wanted to put on your radar. And then we're going to go meet up with Devin Underwood of the Talent Store. We'll talk workforce pivots, getting Tucson's workers back to work, getting Tucson's companies the talent they need, the talent you need, to make it to your next step as an organization in this community. We'll be right back. Lots more to come here on Tipping Point 1030 The Voice.
Radio by and for the people of Tucson. 1030 The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson, located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater. Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. We are live here on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last fall. And they're serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, some ice cream milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches just a few doors down from the Rialto Theater in downtown Tucson. Follow them on social media at Little Love Burger for their most current hours and to get their exact address. Plenty of parking downtown, garages, street parking. There's a lot of it down here these days. Check it out, the Little Love Burger. Really good stuff. Good people making good business happen in Tucson. And when you go, mention that you heard about them on Tipping Point when you check out for a 15% discount on your bill. They make the rules. I don't. But I'm excited to share with you that it's happening and you should go take advantage of it while the offer stands. Before we go see Devin Underwood and talk about Tucson's labor market, the rare resignation, and more, a quick transportation item from me. We talked about how I have sensed and am sensing a tipping point, a shift from pandemic to endemic response to COVID. And that is either natural or it is forced. And I talked about that and what I am seeing and what I think it means for us here in 22. So check that out on the podcast. The other thing that I wanted to mention really quick in this brief segment here is what I am tracking is a little known thing that City of Tucson voters will have the opportunity to vote yay or nay on in May of this year. And I would be curious if I could see 10 of you listeners, if I could line 10 of you up in a room, and if you live in the city of Tucson, did you know that in May you are likely to get a ballot asking you to approve or not a renewal of Prop 101? And the first thing that I think is important to say here is that I think most people wouldn't know, and I think that's concerning. Prop 101 was temporary bond that was on a ballot 5 years ago to fund police infrastructure, fire infrastructure, and roads. And that was a 5-year term. The voters in Tucson said we want to do it for 5 years. And the 5 years is up, and there's been conversation about a renewal of that. A renewal that I think, by the way, is necessary. But I was watching a city council meeting the other day, and I was interested to see that there was some surprise that policy language was due to city staff by February 1st. And of course, this has all been kind of a Russian doll type thing shelved within How does City of Tucson fund Move Tucson, which is a long-term transportation plan, as well as how does this interact with City of Tucson's concerns about a renewal of the Regional Transportation Authority? So there's been a lot of tangoing over the last year on all of that, and within that has been Proposition 101. Now, the last time Proposition 101 was on the ballot, it required a lot of money. It required a lot of beating the pavement. It required a lot of activity to get City of Tucson voters to say, yes, we want to invest in that. Now, I don't know whether the renewal of Prop 101 would just be for roads or if it would be for police and fire. If Tucson will come to you, if you're listening as a City of Tucson resident, and say, we want funding for all three, it was a half cent sales tax, or if it's going to just be for roads. The point of it being is that we are days away. I think we've heard very little about it. There's been little energy and momentum around it. And if everyone starts to move on this, is 2 or 3 months enough time to convince the people of Tucson that this thing is worth another 5 years? Now, depending on how the language is written, I am pretty sure I will be on the air saying I think we should. I think Prop 101 has been very effective. I think it's done what it has been asked to do. And I believe that we are so in the hole on infrastructure funding in the City of Tucson that we need multiple streams of income. Now, I haven't seen the language. Nobody has seen the language. We have yet to figure out what it looks like, and that's concerning. But we have a valuable opportunity in this city to add a stream of income for keeping our neighborhood roads and our roads paved and good to go. And I think very few people know about it. No decisions have been made. There's not energy to get it done. I am just fascinated and worried, to be honest, that there's going to be a missed opportunity here in a community where people say they want their roads repaired, where 60% of our arterials are in poor or failing condition, 70% of neighborhood roads are in poor or failing condition. The fact that we think we can turn around a major funding initiative in a matter of 60 to 90 days and get Tucson voters to know enough about it to feel comfortable about passing it, I think is edging on a strategic mistake, to be honest. And I wanted to put it out there because I'd be curious when I have more time to ask you, if you're listening and you live in the City of Tucson, do you know this is on the radar, and would you vote for it? Would you vote for it? If the City of Tucson said we want to do a half cent sales tax for another 5 years for these purposes, police, fire, roads, would you do it? Would you do it again? Did you like what it did the first time? Would you do it again? Kind of an informal poll. I'm curious and would like to know, but it's time to giddy up on this, I would think. Again, last time, I have friends who managed the campaign for this last time. Took a lot of money, took a lot of door knocking, took a lot of energy, and I just don't know how you pull it together at this point fast enough. And we've known for about 6-7 months that this was going to be on the ballot in May, but it caught up in a lot of other strategic decisions that are still very open-ended around transportation. And I hope we don't lose the trees through the forest is my hope. And again, depending on the language, I will be advocating for it most likely. So I'll do my part. But I'm like, come on, you guys got to give me something to talk about here on Tipping Point, 1030 The Voice. We'll be right back after this. Devin Underwood is on the other side. We'll talk about the weird labor market we're facing in this country and locally and how your business can manage it. Workforce pivots on the other side. 1030 The Voice.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice of the In-Depth News. Conversation and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. The first half of the show talked about the tipping point I'm seeing hints of around COVID public policy and what it means. And I'm also talked about a transportation item locally that's on my radar. I think it should be on your radar, and I hope it's on everybody's radar pretty soon, and that is the renewal of Proposition 101, which has funded fire, police, and roads the last 5 years in Tucson. It's on a ballot in May. I just don't know how many people know about it, and are we going to be able to get enough people knowing about it to get it done? And I am worried about a strategic mistake in the works, and I hope I'm wrong. I will likely advocate for the renewal, but I don't know what I'm advocating for, so that is on the table. But just so you know, likely coming up in May. We're with Devin Underwood for the first time now in 2022. Our guy the last couple of years, really, around Tucson's labor market, workforce, and making sure that the businesses and organizations and so many of our business owners listening are making the right decisions and the right steps and the right operations to get the right people in the right seats to grow and keep growing your company. It's a valuable conversation. And we took a little bit of a holiday break, but we are back. Devin Underwood, Happy New Year to you. Thanks as always, and it's good to be with you this morning.
Happy New Year, Zach. How are you?
Good. I'm doing well. 2020, I'm actually optimistic about 2022, and I feel like the realism of 2020 and 2021 are in place, but I'm still optimistic for some reason about 2022. I think it's going to be a good year. Devin, you have a number of logistics and steps and ideas for our businesses today around recruiting here in the new year, but I want to get your ongoing thoughts on what is happening, the great resignation, the big quit. We're hearing these phrases more and more. Recent 60 Minutes conversation, talked with someone high up in LinkedIn, and those leaving jobs is most compelling. Millions of baby boomers, Devin, are retiring early, but millions of Gen Z workers in their teens and early 20s are stepping out of the market. This quiet rate is the quietest since the government began keeping track 20 years ago. Nationwide, the number of Americans quitting or leaving their jobs is higher than ever. You are in this milieu, Devin Underwood. What's going on? What are you making sense of out there in the world?
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about the baby boomer issue and replacing them in the workforce for probably 2 to 3 decades now, at least 25 years. I know that it's been a part of the conversation. I think COVID and all of the different pieces of that pivot have forced the issue earlier. We even saw some baby boomers retire in the previous financial crisis fairly early. So we're losing them pretty quickly. What the hope was that technologically and innovation-wise, the workforce would change and maybe we wouldn't need as many in the workforce or there would be some sort of shift, but there's a lag there as well. And I think lots of companies are just saying, who are we now in the market? With resignations happening, with changes happening, who do we need to be more proactive about retention? And even maybe rethink who now fits into our company based on who we are and what we're able to offer our employees. And so there's a big resetting and reorganizing that can happen here. for companies who are ready to give it some thought work and some proactive initiative. And I think that can be some exciting work, and it helps people to take a look at their own organizations, how their culture is being reflected. Because remember, culture isn't your values you put on your website. Culture is how you interact day to day, right? So how is that really happening in their organization? Is that who they want to be? And then how do you fill positions, change positions and fill them, and then onboard for success and get everybody, old and new employees, integrated and moving forward together? So it's a big puzzle that with the right leadership and the right partnerships can really take a company to the next level.
Devin Underwood is with us. Devin, I think one of the data points validating what you just said, and please speak to this as well, what you're seeing is, I think the second half of last year, a lot of business owners made the assumption that that government benefits coming out of COVID were keeping people on the sidelines, and that once those monthly payments and benefits were off the table, that people would come back to work. And I think there's a lot of data growing that that is not the continuing factor. When people like LinkedIn, who have very, very deep data on where people are going and why they aren't working, they're not seeing this situation be the after effect of government payments to the American people. That has been a line used a lot. I don't think the data backs it up. People are leaving and not working for reasons that are not due to government benefits. Are you still seeing that to be true?
Yes, and I said that in the middle of us having government benefits.
You did. You called it.
The majority of people want to work and want to feel fulfilled, and that they are impacting something. There are always those outliers, and there's always people who take advantage of any program. But to focus on that group of people, on that minority, is really a disservice. But it's a knee-jerk reaction. It's the first thing to say, because the work of looking internally and switching from reacting to proacting while you're still trying to just keep your business going and you're dealing with the same pressures that your employees are dealing with around the pandemic, it's a hard thing to look at and want to do. So it's much easier to first say, it's got to be something outside of me that I can't control, because right now I have too much on my plate. But I think it's time to kind of take a breath and say, what can we control? What can we do? What can we be proactive about? And how do you get a partner that's going to help you do it so you can keep your day job going? You know, leaders of companies have a lot on their plate. HR directors, HR managers, operations managers, CEOs, they're really, I mean, mentally and physically and literally burning at both ends to keep things moving and pivoted and moving forward. How do you get a partner in there to help you with some of this work so you can get good at it and reset a little bit and reorganize around your hiring and talent retention strategy?
Devin Underwood is with us from the Talent Store. I want to leave our entire second part of this conversation after the break to the real tangible nuts and bolts, especially for our businesses listening, around how to get the right talent attraction strategy here at the top of 2022. If your business can attract and retain talent, you're going to win. In this market, you're going to win, and Devin can help you win really, really well, and I want to leave our second segment for that. One last kind of current event connection into this, Devin. A lot of companies are figuring out the type of benefits and resources and things to add on to the usual package to retain and attract talent. What are workers, because we know workers have the leverage right now, what are workers wanting out of their companies that they are moving to? What are you seeing out there?
Yeah, so it's all over the board, and it depends on the person. But some, you know, I think I'll start with, and I'm not going to know who to credit this quote to, but it's been out there for a long time in the business world, but culture eats strategy every day. And what we're finding is people are talking about and asking me, what is it like to work there? Not what is the job role, not what is the pay, not what are the benefits. What is it like to work there? How do they communicate with each other? How do they interact with each other? How do they give grace around life things that happen? What is the flexibility of schedule? What is it, in office, hybrid, at home? The answer of what the candidate wants changes depending on who the candidate is and that. But those are the questions they're asking about. And so when we get back for the second half, let's really talk about how do you tangibly reflect who you are culturally in your job campaigns, in your outreach, in your advertising? Because I think it's one thing that's really missed by a lot of organizations. But for me, as a third party representing my clients, that's really all the candidates ask. After I get through talking about the job, the role, the day-to-day, the reporting structure, what talking about their experience and skills, what questions do you have for me? And it all revolves around culture, communication, and what it feels like to work there.
Yeah. Karen Kimbrough is the chief economist of the world's largest professional network, LinkedIn, and she's saying that what she sees now is people's job choice and applications being based around two questions: what makes my heart sing and what do I want to do? And Devin, the reality is, I think a lot of our business owners listening probably rolled their eyes and said, do I have to get that fluffy? The answer is yes. The answer is yes. Like, let's just have a real conversation.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah, and it's not fluffy. It's just like how they call, I hate the term, soft skills, right? Because your communication style, your ability to interact with people, your EQ aren't soft. They're make or break on how you do your job.
Yeah.
And I know culture can feel soft and fluffy, and it doesn't have to be like that. You know, the discussions I'm having with clients isn't become a different person. It's really understand who you are, highlight the best, get rid of the toxic, and let's hang who you are so you attract who likes that in an organization. Because different people want different cultures. And we can put that out there and it can be authentic. It doesn't have to be warm and fuzzy and strange.
Devin Underwood, I think a lot of businesses took the holiday break to probably re-strategize, rethink, envision their 2022 for their business and company. When we come back, Devin is going to share some nuts and bolts, tactics and strategies to make sure that you're getting the right people coming to and staying in your company, that you have the right talent strategy here at the top of the year in 2022. We'll be right back. Our first break of this conversation, our final break of this Drive Time Hour of Tipping Point, part two of our conversation with Devin Underwood from the Talent Store on the other side. Don't go anywhere, Tucson.
From Oro Valley to Vail and everywhere in between, 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, Hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. I'm with Devin Underwood, principal and founder of The Talent Store. I've gotten to see Devin in action helping Tucson companies clarify the right people for the right job, figure out how to get them in and how to keep them in a way that is very attuned to the local market. We get to tap into her knowledge a little bit here on a regular basis on the show, and we're thankful for that. So many of our business owners listening, I'm sure, because I know I did, took time to reevaluate, re-strategize over the holiday break when things were a bit slower and think about, what do I want my company to be this year, and who do I need to make that happen? And Devin Underwood is going to give us a few tactics and nuts and bolts strategies to manage the big quit, the great resignation, whatever is happening now in the job market. You probably need a partner to navigate it. So Devin, in the last 10 minutes or so that we have, give our business owners and business leaders some of the tools and tactics you've learned working with clients around how to make sure your brand is on point and you're attracting and retaining the right talent.
Yeah, I think today we'll talk about sort of that external, that first part of talent acquisition, which is the attraction piece. And then maybe next time I'm on, we can talk about that acquiring and onboarding side
Perfect.
Of it. But, you know, first of all, know who you need. And by know who you need, I don't mean a job description of duties and responsibilities, but who fits into your team, particularly if it's a leadership role, what's the style, the communication style, if it's client-facing, what is the influential style that you need, you know, understand what you're looking for. Map out, one of the things people don't take the time to do is really say then, who are we? What are we selling here? You know, so much of talent acquisition is thought of as an HR strategy. And it really isn't. It's really a marketing, branding, and PR strategy. So when I, as an executive search consultant or a recruiter, go out into the market, I'm doing PR for my clients. I am talking about who they are as an organization, who they are as an employer, how they impact the market. I'm advertising, I'm marketing, I'm talking about them as an employer brand. Really different than an HR function. And so that's something I want to kind of keep trying to flip and switch. And I know I've done it in organizations where I've been internally with, to change their mind around where does this really fit in the organization. But, you know who you need, and then spend some time before you advertise, before you go out there, to take a look at what do we look like in the market and in the digital space? What are our employer profiles look like? How have people rated us on Glassdoor? Are there comments or ratings about how we are or who we are as employers out there that we need to know about? Those are conversations you need to be ready to be proactive to address. Do we have nothing out there? So do we need to start getting our employees rating us and talking about us and getting out digitally? And there's campaigns I can help people run internally that get their employees talking about who they are as an organization and employer in a positive way. So that's one brand. That's one piece. What's your employer brand? How do people know you? How do people think about you? How do people talk about you? How do people rate you as an employer, not on the customer-facing side? The other thing is setting effective advertising strategies. This is an ad campaign. And so you've got to understand how the job boards work. You've got to be able to understand how people may be searching for your job so that your job contains all of the information they might be searching for, the right people might be searching for. How do you spend those advertising dollars? What are the right job boards to be on for you? And how do you then bring all of that application activity into one place so you're not going to 5 to 10 different places to see who's applying, right? And then, you know, part of that ad campaign thought work is, who is your target audience? So really knowing who you need and then reverse engineering, where do those people live in the market? How do I get in front of those eyeballs? Are they actively applying or not? Are they usually heads down workers? How do I not just advertise and post and pray, which I know we've talked about a lot, Zach, but how do we then outreach to people who maybe aren't directly applying but would be great for this role, who maybe wouldn't think about our company but would be great? Who are our key competitors? What competitors are having attrition right now? Those are all pieces of the puzzle that can be looked at. And, you know, as I'm talking about this, it sounds like a full-time job, right? And so for a lot of organizations that are small and mid-size, you know, how do you get that done internally when you've got to keep your day job going? And that day job can be as an HR director, which is a very different job than what I'm talking about. It could be as a CEO, it could be as an ops person, it could be as a head of a department. So it's hard to get all of that done. It's not rocket science to get it done, but it's hard to get it all done when you've got everything else going on. So that's really, in a nutshell, that initial attraction piece that you think about. Typical recruiting firms are going to ask you what the job is. They're going to ask you for a job description, and then they're going to throw some resumes at you. At the Talent Store, we try to be bigger than that, and we are handling all of those pieces I just described on behalf of our client. So we're really casting a wide net that's curated and specific to who they need, not just matching the skills and experience, but also the culture fit. But doing these things internally can be done too, and you can look at it that way as well.
I think one of the interesting dynamics that I'm thinking about as you're sharing this, speaking to, you know, how do we move from a spray and pray or a post and pray, approach to a more demographic driven one is interestingly enough, and probably not surprising, the two kind of demographics that are leaving their jobs the most right now, which also means they're the two that demographics that are probably the most interested in the market right now, are young people and women.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
I would imagine that an advertising outreach approach would have to be curated in a way that engages younger markets and women in a specific way, versus, you know, if it was men or if it was older people or whatever the case may be. That's a very different strategy, as an example.
It can be, and you know, there's a whole science on writing job ads to attract different types of demographics, right? You know, I don't always play in that, but I definitely try to think about how to be neutral or inclusive in all of that. But yeah, there's ways to target. And I think what you said is so smart, Zach. The people who are leaving positions right now aren't necessarily leaving wanting to work. And so these are people who are going to be looking for something. And it's about speaking to them in an authentic way that attracts the right person to you. Some of this great resignation, my cynical side says it's like a grass is greener mentality, right? You know, you think, gosh, it's really hard where I am. It's got to be better somewhere else. Anywhere you go.
Newsflash.
Right?
Newsflash.
Newsflash. Yeah, no job is going to be this magical prairie with butterflies floating, right? And I don't tell my clients to become that. But, you know, while they're looking for the greener grass, why can't we talk about how well you've maintained your yard, right? Why can't we talk about what kind of organization you are and why someone would want to work there and really get in front of those people? You know, good recruiting partners have big, expensive seats on LinkedIn, Zoom Info, big data companies, right? So we can look at what moves are going on in the market, what attrition is happening in your competitors, who's leaving, who's coming, who's going. So we've got a little insight to do that because that's what our job is every day. And so leverage it. Leverage it for those key positions because it's going to give you an edge and get it moved faster.
I love it. This job market, Devin, is a fight. It is a fight for every business out there. This is not a passive space. I think businesses have to be appropriately aggressive and proactive to do all the things that you mentioned, because again, it is not the businesses that have the leverage right now. It is those people who want to work, but they are very specific about where they want to work and what work they want to do. This is a fight, and if businesses are going to be successful, I think they need some champions and they need some advisors, and I think the Talent Store fits into that. Before we let you go, Devin, where can people go and find you and have an offline conversation about how you can help their business this year? And I, of course, urge them to do that.
Yep, go to yourtalentstore.com, take a look. I mean, we're really specialized in executive search, key position placement, and recruitment process outsourcing. I do some advising as well. You know, and all of those pieces that we talk about, looking at your employer brand, advertising campaigns, giving you the market data and insight you need. And then the other killer is people who don't follow up with the leads that they're given. If you sit on any of those great candidates, they're going to be gone. And so all of those things we're handling for you, so it doesn't feel like a fight. You're doing your day job, and we're getting all of that done on your behalf, so you're teed up with the top 3 to 5 candidates you interview and select. Mm. So let's talk about how we can do that and help you.
I love it. Devin Underwood, again, principal and founder of The Talent Store. We weave in current events and what's going out in the market, and then we tie it back to your business on a regular basis here on the show. Devin, Happy New Year to you. Looking forward to our next few conversations together, and thanks as always for your guidance.
Thanks, Zach, and stay optimistic.
Will do.
It's going to be a good, if it's not a good year, it'll be a learning year, just like all the others.
I am hopelessly optimistic, I've been told, and guilty as charged. Tucson, that does it for us today. Hugh Hewitt up next, Bill Buckmaster at noon. Tomorrow, President Bobby Robbins of the University of Arizona and I will talk about Tucson's place in space. I've been looking forward to this conversation. We'll be right back. Stay safe.